Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Boy Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Grant.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records reveal that addition to rappers are coming up, get up with all. We needed a platform to fight amazing. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, grab your shadow to call. Check out the archives and hundreds of shows, plenty of content and you to do. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
I'm
talking
about what we brought up, it's we represent. All them chillers on the mic and we should love to all your fans.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's an aggressive side, he is beauty, it's some light dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on the streets, I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it
live
forever, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show, like it's a drop.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez, episode 364, Murder Master Music Show. We got a special guest tonight. You know, it's a man that really needs no introduction because, man, he done lapped us about 20 fucking times since we had him on last. I'm talking about Sean Poppy Campbell, man. How you doing, brother?
Peace, family.
Man, congratulations, man. You're well on your way to 200 subscribers, I see, on your YouTube. Man, it's really taken off for you. Did you expect it to do that?
No way. Not in a million years.
Yeah, because kind of now, I mean, you're like a celebrity. I imagine when you go places, people recognize you.
Yeah, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing because it's like either they love you or they hate you. But for the most part, you know, I get more hate on the internet than I do on the streets.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, keyboard warriors, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, you got a platform now that you use for good. You educate people about various topics and things, you know, and it's almost like, you know what I'm saying, now you can't go back. You're at the point of no return. Do you kind of feel that way?
Yeah, it is a point of no return. And it's like now, you know, I got to be careful of every step that I take. I don't know if you guys have been watching, but it's like there's a cost and a price at speaking and talking too much in this country. And I'm feeling the effects of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, man. I've paid attention. You know, we've had some guys on here like the homie Renaissance from Fort Worth. He did a song about Donald Trump, and next thing you know, Secret Service is at his house questioning his mom and his family and everything. I saw some videos that you posted. Are you getting questioned by the feds or something or? Yo, what do you think is going on right now, and why do they? Why would they think you're a threat?
Well, I mean, you got to keep in mind when you really sit back and you analyze our greats, most of them never bust a shot in this country. The only thing that they did was speak. Martin Luther King, he spoke. Malcolm X, he spoke. You know, they spoke about the issues that were going on, and that's what cost them their life. Just speaking. There was no violence. Just speaking. You know, so in this country, you got to understand something. In Hollywood, they dumbing us down with Housewives of Atlanta, Basketball Wives, and all of the rest of these reality TV shows. They dumbing us down. Through the music, they dumbing us down.
Absolutely.
So now when you see that they actually spending billions of dollars to keep you dumb, and then you got this little high yellow African-American, if that's what they want to call us, coming out and opening up his mouth and speaking against it, and now you're starting to get traction. It's like, hold up. You know, what are you doing here? Who gave you the authority to speak? Nobody.
Yeah. And, well, you know, and you got to look at it like this. You need somebody, you know what I'm saying, who's from the streets, who knows what people are going through. You know what I'm saying? We don't have much of that, man. I salute you for that because, you know, you see firsthand what things are like and you speak about that. And I think that's why people might perceive you as a threat because, hey, you're pulling back the curtain on things that they don't want the curtain to be pulled back on. You know? But
yeah,
you've had people actually come to you. To your house, man. Initially, you know, what were your thoughts, man?
Ooh, whoa. Yeah, it's like, well, I'll tell you what, right? At nighttime, my fears is my door's being kicked in while I'm in my underwears and my wife in her panties and bras. Like, we can't even really sleep comfortable in our underclothes because now we have to worry about police kicking in the door. See, this is a different type of enemy that we're dealing with now that they call swatting. And me, personally, I feel like this swatting thing is government made. Because you take a person with a personality like mine who's no longer on a street corner with a gun on his waist slinging crack, coke, and dope, I could actually work from home. So you can't catch me slipping on the block no more unless I feel like being out there. So now it's like, okay, we got to create a way to invade their house. So we'll get the prank phone call, make the prank phone call, send the people inside his house, and go up in there. And now behind his closed walls, can't nobody see what's going on. And ever since this has been going on, my camera's been acting funny. So I personally feel like there's no purpose of even having the cameras because when they came to my house, they deleted everything off of them anyway.
Yeah. That's not normal at all. You know, and you don't know who's hacked into what, you know, who has control of what anymore. You know, they're listening to pretty much everything we're doing, saying, watching us through our smartphones and different devices. But when you have a platform like this, I think it just amplifies the radar on you. And like you said, your family, how does your family cope with that?
It's hard because it's like now everybody in the world has my address because these internet trolls done put it out there, whether it be trolls or whether they be government, the address is, you know, it's out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I own my house. So it ain't like I could just pick up and say, all right, I'm gonna move to another apartment. It's not that easy. Now you gotta pretty much get you another house. So it's not that easy. So now it's like I'm pretty much with my back against the wall, not knowing who could come. You know, I moved out of a certain area to get away from the madness, and now all the madness is coming to my door.
It's crazy because all you're doing is helping people, trying to, you know, shed light on different things. You got a lot of punk motherfuckers on the internet. A lot of guys that, you know, they just want to start trouble. How do you cope with them guys? Because I know you being a dude from the streets, I know you just want to let loose some of these motherfuckers. How do you keep it in check when you're dealing with some dude that's hiding behind a computer screen 1,000 miles away?
Well, I had to re-educate myself. You know, it took a lot, but I had to re-educate myself because now I realize we living in a day and a time now. It's not like the 90s where I came from, where you could toe tag somebody and leave them on the street corner. Now it's cameras everywhere, for one. For two, it's like I trained myself to understand that you have to pick and choose your battles wisely now. That's like, for example, with the dude from California, one of them YouTube dudes, he went out his way to befriend me on the internet just so he could line me up to attack me because I was bigger than him, and he was already, you know, he already had his platform for years. And I came out, and I just started, like, growing fast. Thanks to brothers like, you know, you and others, I started growing fast. So with him, he made fun of me being molested, and I retaliated drunk on the internet and started talking about his kids. What if I did the same thing to your kids? I was disrespectful, which I shouldn't have, but I was angry because I befriended this guy. Like, you guys are one of the only crew, the Murder Master Music, y'all the only crew that really pretty much stayed true to who y'all really was. The rest of these dudes just got funny style as they went along. So this guy right here, I responded on the internet. I'm not knowing the rules of the internet like that. I'm thinking this is the streets. I can say whatever I want. He sent the FBI to my house on two occasions trying to press charges on me for for saying that I threatened his kids, and then for saying that, you know, jokingly I said, you keep on playing with me, I'm getting a little bit of money now, I put a bag on your head. So they had to respond to that because he was trying to press charges. So the FBI came to see me behind that and gave me two warnings. So I was like, okay, now I know I have to pick and choose my battles carefully, because if you don't pick and choose your battles carefully, you're going to expend all of your energy on the wrong fights. And then when you get that real big championship match in life, called life, it's going to devour you. You're not going to have nothing left.
Yeah. They set you up. That's what they do. These guys come in. I've had plenty of them myself. They'll come in and pretend to be something else just to get in the door, just to look in the window. And then once they do, then they plan their attack. I mean, just some cowardice bitches. You know what I'm saying? No respect. Yeah, man. And then they have the audacity to go to the cops. These tough guys, these internet tough guys. You know what I'm saying? Once they get shook, they go to the cops. Cowards, man. Shit pisses me off just hearing it, because I know what you stand for. You know what I'm saying? You're a good dude, and you're out there fighting a good fight, and these people don't need to be doing that shit. But, you know, initially, you know, the first time, you know what I'm saying, I heard anything about you was when you, you know what I'm saying, you told everybody about Afrika Bambaataa. I want to talk about that for a minute, if it's all good. He seems to be getting a pass from the hip-hop community, you know what I'm saying, when other people like, you know, Cosby, R. Kelly, whoever else, you know, going to jail, getting, you know, sued, this, that, and the other, he seems to be getting a pass. You ever wonder why? Like, scratch your head and be like, why the fuck is this dude, you know, getting this type of pass from the hip-hop community?
Well, I understand fully why. He's getting a pass because, for one, the system didn't attack him. We did. Usually when you see Bill Cosby or R. Kelly going through what he went through, the machine tried to destroy them, so the people get behind. Black people don't care unless white people say it first, and then we care. The white media has to tell you it's okay and this is what's going on, so then we jump on the bandwagon. Now, that it's like the chicken sandwich, the Popeye's chicken sandwich. That chicken sandwich has been around. But as soon as the media said, hey, you, eat this sandwich, now everybody acting like this sandwich ain't been around for years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so Afrika Bambaataa, you know, at the end of the day, for one, he also has the old school fear over the industry. So when you mention his name, that old school reputation that came with the Zulu Nation also hold weight. That's why you see some of these rappers don't have the balls to speak out against them, except for a chosen few, like when you had Shan up there and Lord Jamal. But a lot of these rappers don't have the balls because they feel like, you know, at any given time, there's still Zulu members that's in the industry that's moving around, you know, working with other, you know, entities out here that they don't want to bump heads with. So that fear is still there.
Yeah, people are still afraid of him. And again, once again, these are all people who portray themselves in many cases to be tough guys, you know, and here they are. They're cowering behind a guy that's accused of doing some of the most just horrible things to kids. You know, and the backlash, you know, you received from that was pretty harsh. We know homeboy, what's his name, TC Islam, he was killed, wasn't he, a few days after you interviewed him?
Well, he was I had a phone conversation with TC, and he basically said on a phone call that Bam got 24 hours to give him the money that he owed him, or he's telling everything. Basically, I was upset with TC Islam. I really didn't even want to pick up the phone for him to tell you the truth, because I felt like he said, it was so much more that he knew that he didn't tell. He just wanted to speak up on my behalf just to let the people know that I was real, but he held a lot of secrets. And to be honest, I got to be honest with you, he had to hold a lot of those secrets because a lot of those people that's in the Zulu Nation that was TC Islam's age participated in the same acts that Bam participated in. So it was kind of hard to point a finger and say, hey, you did this, because Bam could turn around and say, hey, you did this too, because Bam introduced all of these young guns into that way of life. So this is why a lot of the guys in the Zulu Nation and a lot of guys from Bronx River just got silent, because, like I said before, a lot of these dudes was actually in Africa Bambaataa's book as young boys in their underwears and butt-ass naked with Vaseline. He had a trophy book of some of the illest killers in that book. This is why you don't see Bronx River speaking out for him or against him. They just silent. Now, Bronx River is one of the legendary projects where everybody got busy. There was a lot of thugs. You don't hear nobody saying, hey, Bam is innocent or guilty. They just silent like, uh-oh, we in trouble. Let's just be quiet. It's like a kid, you know, the school found out his mother's a crackhead. What could he say? And that's how they feel, because Africa Bambaataa was the godfather of not just hip hop, but a Bronx River.
Yeah, a lot of people they look at the accomplishments, you know, or achievements of somebody, and get blinded by that. Point in case, KRS-One, when he said, "If you don't respect Africa Bambaataa, then get the hell out of hip hop," or something along those lines. You know, it's like how it kind of puts you in the mindset of these Trump supporters. It's like, how the fuck can you defend somebody like that when you know that what kind of a person they are? It doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Trump, right? It's like, this is how I personally feel about Trump. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But understand something. The one thing that Trump is offering us as a people, that one thing is the last thing, our last leg. It's that gun. And we don't realize that the right to bear arms, to protect ourselves from the same people that's running around conquering island after island, country after country, these people that's ruling have been ruling for 1,000 years. And the last thing that we have left in that Constitution is the right to protect ourselves. Once we let them take away that gun, it's over for us. So that's the one thing, that's the one reason why I even acknowledge Trump and say, hey, you know what, I don't like having to support him, but you got to support the lesser of the evil. Because the reality of it is, that's the one thing that I don't want them to take. And it's bad enough, once you get locked up, you have a felony, you can't own a gun. And in New York, you can't own a gun. But at the same time, once you let the people in power disarm you, it's over.
Yeah. Taking a little piece at a time, you know, and really you got, you know, and you got people who are under the illusion too, that, like you said, man, that either side is for them. They're both against them. Democrats and Republicans alike, you know, they're at the end of the day, they're for big business, not you and I or our families, you know, and, that's the reality of it. Until there's some type of a better system in play, we're stuck with what we got. But yeah, man, if they take away the guns, you know, that's what they did to numerous populations around the world before they were you know, victims of genocide. But, you know, what about, you know what I'm saying, you doing the YouTube channel, you know, when you come up with ideas and content, how do you choose what to speak about? You know, there's so much stuff to talk about nowadays, obviously, man. What makes you decide what to speak on?
Well, like you said, there's so much that needs to be touched on. My main, the thing that people don't understand, right, they say, oh, he deal with celebrity gossip. Now, with that being said, for one, I come from Bronx River Projects, the Bronx, the home of hip-hop.
Yes.
That's the one.
Absolutely.
For two, hip-hop is the new crack game. It is what they use, and it's like a loaded gun that's being used on the younger generation. And as a matter of fact, it's been used on all of us. They took it from its original form and turned it into a weapon. We went from being brothers and sisters to niggas and bitches. And, you know, a lot of these celebrities run around and tell you bitches ain't shit for hoes and tricks, but every last one of them got a wife and children. Young Jeezy will tell you to trap or die, but I just see photos with him with his son graduating out of high school or college. So it's like, hold up, you told me we got to trap or die, but you paying your way for your kid to go to private schools so he could avoid that. So now when I see the hypocrisy in the industry, I got to stand up and say, yo, nah, this ain't right. So they'll say, oh, you clout chasing. Nah, this ain't clout chasing. This is me waking the younger generation up, letting them know that the dude, see, Jeezy made it in the industry. Big Meech got damn near life in prison because he was trap or die. And that was his consequences. So when Jeezy saw that, he ain't say, yo, this is not the direction to go with. He continued on with that murder, death, kill music. So me, I have to use my voice to say, yo, you know what, man? That ain't the way to go either. These dudes in the industry is leading you to the hellfire. It's my job to pull you out.
I agree 100%. They're portraying a different image to our kids as they are to theirs.
And it's always, you know what, in the music industry, it's always something to talk about because people don't understand it's part of a ritual, a sacrifice for the music industry to make them put false gossip or real gossip, celebrity gossip out there to humiliate the audience, the artist. It's part of their satanic ritual in that music industry. This is why you see so many narratives going on with B2K, Omarion Moms is getting slept with by one of the members, and then his baby moms is with somebody else. This is strategically being done to humiliate these artists in order for them to continue on making money.
Yeah. And this has been going on for a while. We've had Russell Simmons' nephew out here talking about he's seen rituals in the offices of Def Jam. You know, you being around hip-hop, you know, you shed light on the horrible things that you were saying witness to and had done to you. Have you ever seen any type of, like, ritualistic behavior, like cult stuff like you're talking about right now?
Well, the main thing I've seen dealing with Afrika Bambaataa is him performing sexual acts. One of his rituals, which I didn't know at the time, was him giving oral sex, because that's mainly what he wanted to do. He wasn't really running around trying to penetrate young boys like that. He tried it to me one time, and like I said, he fired me. And everybody on the internet thought that was funny, and I'm like, okay, who raised y'all? Because like I said before, I've been in the penitentiary and seen dudes get raped in there, and even the killers ain't think that shit was funny at all. So when you see dudes laughing like, ah-ha-ha, he died, you're like, yo, in jail, nobody thought that was funny. The killers didn't think it's funny, so what's going on with you internet people?
There's no respect with them. None at all. You know, they think stuff like that is funny. I had some asshole tell me, you know, when my father was ill before he passed away, you know, put a comment on one of my videos, is your father dead yet? It's like, really? You know, you want to take it there? And knowing I can't see you, I don't know where you're at, I can't touch you. You know, you want to take it to that level? No respect at all, man. and it's disgusting.
Man, I had a dude call me on the phone, or somebody called me on the phone, you know, the cats gave out my phone number and called me on the phone. My mother was damn near dying on a hospital bed. And somebody called me at the same time where they had a tube down her throat. They were suctioning out the mucus from her, but she had tubes down her throat. So, you know, you got tubes down your throat, and it's all the way in your stomach. She's choking at the time, and I'm like, you know, in tears. And I answered the phone, and they was like, I hope that fat bitch dies. Right while she was going through that, and I was like, whoa. Just whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no remorse at all. And then here recently, Zulu Nation had an anniversary. I saw a video you posted about that. You know, it's just crazy how people are still celebrating that after all that's been said and come out about it.
You know what? It's like it's just like Thanksgiving dinner, which is. Something I'm pretty much about to start pushing this month right here. Hey, this is the month of Thanksgiving, so you know, I'm trying to get people to do a Thanksgiving challenge where they expose the family member at the table, because a lot of people at Thanksgiving be having Thanksgiving dinners with the same person who molested all the kids in the family. So this is the month of Thanksgiving. That's the challenge that I want. I want everybody to expose their goddamn pedophile right in front of the whole family. Who already know that he's a pedophile, but they covering up and acting like they don't know, because that's what happens in a lot of our families. We know that we got a pedophile in the family and don't do nothing about it. Don't say nothing about it.
No. It's just like the cop. It's just like the cop. Everybody says, well, he's a good officer. Yeah, but he ain't saying nothing about the crooked cops that he knows are shaking people down and killing people and raping women and whatever else the fuck they're doing. It's the same type of thing. But it's really disturbing, though, Poppy, you know what I'm saying, the hip-hop community, knowing that there's a person who is accused of being a pedophile. And being a pedophile was never cool in any street anywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's like, people used to get fucking beat, killed, whatever the fuck. It's like nobody's holding nobody accountable no more for this shit.
Right, you know, it's like, I'm pretty sure the higher ups in the music industry probably told a few celebrities that was going to say something not to say something. The music industry is controlled. Everything that they do is controlled. How they spend their money is controlled.
Yeah. Yeah, because they want to keep the money flowing by any means necessary.
Right. Nobody wants to go back to poverty. It's like, you know, they hate the music industry, but at the same time, nobody wants to move back to the projects.
Yeah, and they take cats like yourself and other people that speak out, and they almost shun you guys, you know. Because I think your story needs to be heard, man. I really do. Have you ever thought about, you know what I'm saying, you know, putting out a book or something like that, or, you know, a movie?
Well, actually, you know, my book should have been out already. I've been bullcrapping around, but at the same time, it's like, you know what? What better time than now? Because now I actually have a following where I can actually do some good numbers. Like you said, I never thought or never even planned to be this big. It's just that, you know, you guys, and I have to say it again over there, y'all stayed in contact with me. Y'all always offered me a platform every time something else came up. Y'all never switched up on me. But a lot of these other cats, it was like when they felt like they couldn't make no money in my story was over with. It was the end. So it was like, okay, there was things still going on. I was told that the minute I got off the internet, I was going to die. And I'm like, okay, I'm a warrior. I can fight and protect myself, but you can't fight who you can't see. Bam is pretty much, you know, traveling the world, and he's spending a lot of time in different countries. I can't get to him, but whoever he decides to send, he's a millionaire. I don't know who's coming, so I stayed on the internet, and I kept being my own voice. And then you know, eventually it was like, okay, nobody wanted to hear about Bam no more. I started getting into other topics, and eventually, you know, I kept getting flagged on YouTube. I had to learn it. And during that time, they would give you 90 days where you couldn't post. So after a while, I started learning the game a little bit better, and I started growing, you know. And within this last year, that's what really, really made me, you know, propel. And my platform just got big, so I'm like, all right, now is the time for me to really, really use my voice and tell my, you know, tell my story, put my book out there, and that's it. Try to figure out a way to start some businesses now, because the way I'm being smeared all over the internet, I can see right now, it's going to be a hard time for me getting a job. Not to say I need one right now, because to be honest with you, YouTube is paying me good right now. You know, it could be better. I know they playing with my checks, but I make more than the average person. So there's I got a blessing out of it. I was able to, you know, maintain myself.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I always told Mac J. I was like, you know, saying Poppy is propelled to a whole new level. You know what I'm saying, and to a point where it's just going to keep growing from here. And, you know, like I said, you're well on your way to 200K. After that, you know what I'm saying, 500,000, you know, it's limitless. And don't let these clowns deter you, you know what I'm saying, keep doing what you're doing. And, you know what I'm saying, you're definitely needed. We need more people like you, actually, to be honest. You know, too many people that get on YouTube and get on the internet, they're fucking idiots, Poppy. They're the cloud chasers that are speaking a bunch of nonsense. You know what I'm saying? You're coming out there, you're putting yourself on the line, and you're giving us substance. You know, I commend you for that.
Yeah, man. You know, I can't really deviate off of the path of righteousness, even though, you know, I done had my moments. I know y'all have seen the Derek Williams situation where I done spazzed out on him, you know, and she was a mod that I spazzed out on. And it kind of hurted me, too, because, you know, I was hoping that he was going to be a decent person. The brother came to New York like four times to see me, three, four times, and I curbed him. So this time I'm like, you know what, this dude's been outside in New York since 8 o'clock all the way to 6 o'clock at nighttime. Let me go meet up with the brother and shake his hand and thank him for being a moderator, you know? And I said, you know what? He got 2 hours. Let's go get set a drink. Send him on his merry way. Get some chicken and some drinks and send him on his way. He got drunk. He turned into a totally different person. His hands, he had gay gestures. And it's like, this is another thing that irritates me. I am not gay. I play no parts and wants no parts in homosexuality. But because I was molested, in some of these cats' minds, they think that I'm gay. So this is where this fallout came out with this dude, because he had too many feminine ways coming at me. And when I started checking him, with him being intoxicated, next thing you know, this dude got his hand around my throat. And I called on the phone before I even got that far, because I'm like, yo, this dude trying to set me up. I'm paranoid. So I'm like, this nigga got to be an agent. Because the way he's transforming is just kind of, it's just too weird. So, make a long story short, I went live because I know he's in New York. I already smacked him down to the floor for touching me, smacked him in the middle of the street, and I'm like, damn, what do I do? This is the Bronx. If I leave him right now in the state that he's in, and some of these young boys come up on him, because we right by Parkchester. All the stick-up kids is right there in Bronx River, even in Parkchester, too. If I leave him like this and somebody do something to him, then I'm going to be accountable for this. So I'm trying to get him to go either home, which he's too impaired, or listen, I drop you off at a hotel so you can stay there and you can take yourself home. I even pay for it, because now I'm in fear of what he's going to do and what he's going to say, because I don't want to get locked up for a hate crime. This is a drunk mind thinking, still trying to think rational. He was drunk and I was drunk, but I was sober enough to know, nigga, you putting your hands on me, get bucket. And he's lucky I ain't kill him.
Yeah, anybody putting their hands on somebody you know, I can't imagine what was going through your head other than, you know, I got to fucking defend myself, you know. Anybody would.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so it's like dudes like him in situations, it make you paranoid, because you meet other new people, or they trying to meet you, and you're like, damn, what am I to expect from you? Now you're paranoid.
Yeah,
you know, but
it's crazy.
Yeah, man, it's scary. It's really, really scary because it's like, you know, you can grow dealing with and meeting new people, or you can get assassinated. So you gotta pick your poison real careful, because it could be a blessing, or it could be a lesson dealing with these people. In his situation, it was a lesson for me. Because what I realized with him being a mod, what he was doing was he was branching out and he was meeting other mods, getting their phone numbers. So now they felt like they had to pick and choose me and him. And that's not even normal. People don't get affiliated with other people like that. I don't know you. You on the internet, you got a wrench just because you're sitting up there commenting in the comment section. Most people are not that friendly to me, people. But he went out his way to get most of my mods' phone number. So then when I fell out with him, it's like, hold up, y'all still dealing with this dude. What's this all about? He talking disrespectful about me and y'all still dealing with him? Like, nah, there's no in-between in life. Like, if you're going to be over there, stay over there. But then I even gave him a break. I was like, you know what? Cool. But when I start hearing him talking reckless, and then other people was like, nah, I just took my wrenches. Now, when I took my wrenches, they became enemies. Like, okay, we see where you at.
Yeah, a lot of people switch up, man. I put out a project about 10 years ago. We had 120 cats on this project, and I talked to three of them now. You know, the other 99, I don't even talk to, because people, they just change overnight, it seems, and you just can't trust anybody. Sad reality.
Right.
You know, this internet day and age is something new, man, because, you know, we come from the era where, like you talk about the 90s, you know, shit, pagers, you know, the whole nine. You know, this internet thing, a lot of the guys we deal with now, they were raised on this shit. That's all they know. They don't know about, you know, the 90s, early 2000s. All they know is this internet shit. You know. But I don't know, man. I just hope that you're able to continue to do what you do, you know, without any hiccups in the road from any of these assholes. Because obviously, you are under attack, you know, and people like yourself who shed light on different things are also under attack. Just, you know, keep doing what you're doing, man. But before we get out of here, I want to thank you once again. It's always a pleasure and honor to chop it up with you. You know, I'm very happy for you, man, that you're continuing to grow. And for cats that haven't checked out your YouTube channel, man, let them know where they can go, Poppy. Yeah, Poppy, you there, fam?
Oh, wow. Okay, I had it on mute because I didn't want you to hear the sound in the background. You can go to my Hassan Campbell's page. That's the one that's creeping up on 170,000 right now. My Real Topics, I'm at, I think, 33,000. And my Raw and Uncut is at 18,000, I believe, right now. I have three on YouTube pages. So, you know, people can subscribe to that, or they can go catch me at my Hassan Campbell page on Instagram, Facebook.
Oh, so you got three pages. That's dope. So you, I imagine you keep the content different on all three pages.
Now, you know what? I mean, on my Raw and Uncut page, what I'm about to do is I'm about to start doing more outside videos and showing New York and different areas and talking to people and interviewing people. But For the most part, those are just backup pages because I have, like, so many people that vow that they're going to get me knocked off of the internet. They're going to bring me down. So I have to make sure I have a backup page.
Yeah. Understandable with that. They'll turn you in real quick. And I've dealt with that on Facebook before, you know. You know what I've had, too, that really pissed me off? Like, you ain't got to really worry about it on YouTube as much. But I have people on Facebook go back years, and like trolls will get my photos and they'll go back years and report something I said 10 years ago. You know, and I'll get
I thought I was the only one he was doing that to. Now I don't feel bad.
These motherfuckers, man, I swear.
Wow.
Yeah, what the hell is wrong with these people? Yeah, man, just continue doing your thing, brother. And, anytime you need us for anything, man, we're always here, man.
Man, I would love to work with you guys again. As a matter of fact, if you get your YouTube page up running and stuff like that, and y'all ever decide to do some videos up there where people, look and see, I'm willing to, do something with y'all on a regular basis, because y'all platform that I would love to pretty much, let people see how dope you guys is, man. They really need to see, what y'all bringing to the table out there, because a lot of these other cats just suck.
Man, I really appreciate that, Poppy. Real talk, man. Definitely stay in touch and, be safe out there, man.
All right. Thank you. Peace.
Peace, Poppy.